Blog Talk Radio.
As you said before, when we first came there, it was the only organist that I had. I was playing myself, and my son David told me about it. They ran school together, and my brother, they said, she doesn't have to talk to him. And that's when it's not that bad. And he said, talk to him, tell him I want him to come. And he came. And I used to go pick him up every Sunday morning. He would play. He could play. Tell me he could play. And so with this, thank the Lord. I still tell Anthony I want him to be a POP pastor. He ain't passing the way yet. But I tell him I want him to be a Pentecostal Outpour pastor because I know when he will preach in our holy congregation, we need something else up in that. Speaking of holy congregation, behind you there, turn your name, you'll see a picture of your apostle and the first lady. And we're talking about our holy congregation August the 4th through the 8th. And we want everybody to get excited about being there every day from the 4th through the 8th. Plenty of conventions. And even take your wife and stay at the hotel. We got three hotels now, man. For just $95 a night, you can be there for three or four nights and enjoy just a move of a convention. And we want you to be ready to work in transportation, hospitality, food service, on and on and on, janitorial, whatever we're going to be doing that particular week. And we're spending a great time in the Lord. People excited all over the world coming in and just receive news. They're coming from Africa. They're coming from North Carolina. They're coming from Florida. They're coming from Ohio. And as a matter of fact, we have a pastor to say that he's really been praying and he's thinking about coming in from Ohio. And so God is doing some wonderful things. Of course, Michigan is always here. But we're excited about Pentecostal Outpour 2014. If you were there, you'll see that picture on billboards around the cities. And God is just blessing us. And God shall supply all of our needs according to the riches and glory of our pastor. Pastor, you always come back. Just come have a word before we receive our offering. It's the Lord. Amen. Let's receive by saying amen. Every time he's in Detroit, he comes to the Father. He's the sister of the bishop of the original world church of God Christ Apostolic. Let's receive by saying amen.
Amen.
Now praise the Lord, everybody. Now come on, praise the Lord, everybody. We give honor to God, who is the head of our life, the bishop, the prophet of hand, and so forth. Glad to be here. As Bishop said, every time I come to Michigan, I stop by. This is my second home. And the last time I was here, you were playing the organ. Well, congratulations on seminary. After the salt, God is doing a great thing in your life. Last 4 years. And I just stopped by because I was here. Just wanted to say God bless you. But I was reading something. I just had to say this. I was reading something earlier this week. And it said that the number one song, praise and worship song in the world, is How Great Thou Art. And I began to think just about how great God is. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. That constitutes divinity. He's everywhere. He knows everything. He's all powerful. Outside of him is nothing. If there was outside of him, it would be dead because he wouldn't be there. But he is everything. But within God, now this is where it gets good. Within God, there's space. And in space, there's a universe. And in the universe, there's a galaxy. And in the galaxy, there's a planet called Earth. And on Earth, there's a continent called North America. And on North America, there's the United States. And in the United States, there's Michigan. And in Michigan, there's Inkster. And in Inkster, there's a church called High Praise. And in High Praise, there's you. And in you, there's God. And in God, there's Satan. And in space, there's the galaxy. And in the galaxy, there's the universe. And in the universe, there's a planet. And all that planet, there's the United States. And in the United States, there's Michigan. And in Michigan, there's Inkster. And in Inkster, there's High Praise. And in High Praise, there's you. And in you, there's God. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise God for saving me. Why? Because he
Tell somebody to use your grace, God. Just make sure he's a great God. Lord, man, it's not the reason. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. Well, mighty God. Well, mighty God. You have to say, well, mighty God. He said, put your hands together, praise the Lord. Praise everybody. All right, it's offering time. And we're going to bring we're going to present our tithe and offering unto the Lord. And you need an envelope, just raise your hand. Raise your hand. Let's do this because we're going to be thanking God for everything that he's done by our obedience to tithe and offering. That's a command from the Lord. Did you hear me? I said, that's a command from where? It's a command from the Lord. Who would dare to disobey the Lord? I dare y'all to sit up in this choir and disobey the Lord. I dare preachers to preach and say they call a preacher disobey the Lord. I dare these deacons who stand before you today to disobey the Lord. In the name of Jesus. And I dare each of you, the parishioners, the musicians, disobey the Lord. You're asking for doom, sudden degradation. But I obey the Lord. I came prepared to obey the Lord. Look at somebody say, he's been too good to me. Look at somebody say, he's been too good to me. I shall not disobey before. Let's pray. Father, we thank you now. We give you praise, honor, and glory for always. You made this day possible for us. We could have been gone, but you allowed us to be here. You favored us. We shall not rob you, but we shall give that which you commanded us to give. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Prepare now. The deacons are passing the receptacle.
I'm going to go to the hospital. I can
happens sometimes. Don't talk like that. Don't talk like that. That's the truth. Amen. Because of sin brought upon us by the first Adam, we will die. But the second Adam has come now to us with eternal death. And we can live on the other side of the ability of
death.
Yeah. We live on the other side. One of the sons of Elijah is here, and his mother's sister passed away, and he lives in, I believe, Tampa, Florida, and he's here today, and I'm glad to see him. Praise the Lord, he's still alive. He grew up with us, grew up in this church. He used to be the little boy. My brother was here at the service of the late Vernon Lewis, and he had words. You know, I'm the oldest, the firstborn of our family, of my mother and father's children. And David had words, and they were two times larger than I had tonight. And when he finished, I said to everybody, that's my big brother. Although I'm the oldest, I think, that's my big brother. If you don't believe my, he's my big brother, mess around and say something to him. He'll let you know. He'll let you know. He's my big brother. But I just praise God for all of you here today, and I want you to look at your loved ones who have gone on before you and thank God, especially if they were saved. And you go out to visit the burial site, just thank God that they left this world saved. My brother and I. That's what you gotta pray. You saved loved ones. You saved loved ones. Well, we're praying for Grace's daughter. Sometimes she had a flashback of it because her father just passed away about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. So she has a flashback. And she arrived. And she was here praise dancing today. But we have to keep her in prayer. I'm sure I want you to keep her in prayer. I had to talk to her by phone last night to encourage her. That to accept this thing that none of us can change. I have to accept. I stood here in 1969 in 11 o'clock service and preached my mother's service. The people who were jammed in this church, wall, standing on something here inside, we couldn't believe that her son was going to do the eulogy. But I did it, and I did it with sort of a spirit of pride. Because I had a saved mother. And I noticed what she did before she took sick. For some reason, she was just She used to just bring materials home the whole year. She'd bring helps home. All kind of books. All kind of things without my ministry. Then she bought me a brand new Samsonite. Beautiful. I don't know if I still have it. Beautiful, big Samsonite. They could carry these two suits. And I carried that thing from Connecticut to York, because my mother was preparing me for the departure, and I didn't know it. And sometimes when I'm going through my library, I see some things she left with me. So she knew she was going, but I was able to stand there that day and preach a sermon I never forget. If you will work, he will pay. She died at the age of 58 years of age, very young woman. She worked hard along with my dad in the ministry that I represent. I came from that ministry to this ministry to do my dad's work out here. This is what happened. After pastoring my dad's church and bringing it from a storefront to a cathedral, you all have been to the cathedral several times, I took that cathedral, that little small church in 1974, and we moved once and into that final spot. When I finished that and looked at, God had blessed me, Brian, to take a little small church and gain 3 city blocks from a little small church to 3 city blocks. One night God talked to me about it, said, he moved into God's city, Tennessee. Now you finished the work of your biological father. Now go to Inkster and finish the work of your spiritual father. So pastors never understood. Why would you leave such an accomplishment? Why would you leave a $10 million complex to go to Disney? Because I am on assignment. Not too many days, we'll see what God has done. If you dare to obey him. Because obedience is better than the sacrifice. God has blessed us from that one little house church to pay for every church we've ever been in. And God has blessed us. We didn't sell no churches to get to the next church. Apostle had to give his church to somebody. So y'all keep churching in there. I'm giving it to you. Don't give God a praise for it. We didn't do that. Each church we gave to somebody. We gave the first church to a young man by the name Anthony Clapton. He's on board. He's on the freeway right now. We gave all that property to him. That's when my little grandmother was buried from that. And the devil said, you don't want to give away your heritage. But the Holy Ghost in the first place said, God said, give it away. I said, are you sure? I said, I'm trying to bed. She's in bed. I said, are you sure God said that? Yeah, God said, give it away. When I got ready to leave Bethune and Rush, that's when we blessed him. Again, the Lord came and said, give it to the youth of the north end of Detroit. Give it to the Lord Spirit. I gave it to her. Here we are now. In the final round of the assignment, God said, this church will someday be bigger than the church of God. And then he sent my son back on the table. If God opens his mouth, and God tells us, he shall run a face. Look at somebody said, hey, 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 it's going to be all right. 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 It's going to be all right.
The truth.
So no, I don't say the falsehood, but the truth. shall make you free. You may be seated. Now, I'm trying to practice doing what I have to do in 30 minutes. I promised the saints last Sunday when I preached, I'll be 10 minutes. And I kind of did it, and the Holy Ghost extended it about 10 more. But if you pray, we'll be able to do this. That's a signal of our day seems to be an abundance of cumulative knowledge. Everybody seeking knowledge. Colleges are jammed and packed with people seeking knowledge for whatever reason. Yet a general lack of effectual truth. Science and technology are making unprecedented advances. Our libraries are full of books. People are better educated than before. Yet highlighting our achievements is a fall of despair and unrest because people don't know the truth because Satan has hoodwinked and tricked us into believing everything but the truth. Lies boom fast. If you lie on somebody, it will spread like a gasoline fire. But sooner or later, truth will come. There is a saying, before the truth gets out of town, a lie will circle around the world. The dictionary meaning of truth is being in accord with reality, conforming with facts. Truth is absolute. It doesn't change, although modern man is doing his best to change the truth. You will agree with me, right is right. And wrong will always be wrong as long as we live. Man changes truth into a lie. I believe that was a lie supposedly to the disappearance of Flight 37. With all the technology we have, all the books on the library shelves packed out, they can see over in the foreign country, but yet they can't find where Flight 37 is. Which all, with all the technology that they had to go down in the depths of the sea,
right,
but yet could not find a trace of Flight 37. That tells me that man is trying to change the truth to a lie. But just hang on now. Sooner or later, truth will catch up.
All right.
In chapter 8, if you just take your time, and if you check out, just come out of seminary, you'll find out I'm telling the truth. Now, if I start lying, stand up and say, but. I went to seminary 2 years in Detroit, in the 60s, and gave it a little time. And one of the things about knowledge, speaking knowledge, one must, everybody told you this, one must acquire a mind of curiosity. If you never have a mind of curiosity, you'll never seek the truth of anything.
Right. Yeah.
Curiosity will take us somewhere if we work with it to places we've never gone. Christopher Columbus had a curiosity beyond the lie that's been told that the world was flat. He refused to receive that supposedly truth. And he got in 3 ships. Now, if you know your history, you know I'm telling the truth. The Nita, the Pita, and the Santa Marita. You didn't know that, did you? If you studied your history, you know the 3 ships that Christopher Columbus used. But a lie was told after all of he's gone through, all of those sea storms and all, he told a lie that he discovered America. There were some people in America already, so he didn't discover nothing. He just came up on America. The lies told that he is stupid. Oh, there's so many lies being told that we've been educated to, but it is just, I'm preaching, I know I'm preaching. I'm going to work it out because you're supposed to build your argument, right, before you go to the mountain. So in this eighth chapter, you will remember, in this eighth chapter, there are so many actions of lies that prove to be a lie. First line was, there was a woman early on in this chapter that supposedly said, these men brought her to Jesus and said, this woman here was found in the act of adultery. And according to the law, she's supposed to be stoned. Jesus didn't pay any attention to that lie. The Bible said he stood down and he wrote on the ground. They told a lie that she was caught in their act, but they didn't tell the truth. You know, the truth of the matter is they were going down there to commit adultery with her again. And Jesus knew their mind. So he wrote on the ground, which other one of y'all ain't been with him? You catch the first one. Still a professor. He wrote again and said, which other one of y'all ain't ever been with this one? Catch this one. They said, uh-oh. They stopped disappearing. One at a time. You know what I found out the truth of the matter? A lot of folks are so quick to point their finger at someone else's sin is in the same sin as I'm going to. I'm going to preach to y'all, you better not go on stone with me, because I'm going to tell the truth. God ain't called me to preach to people in your ears, but I'm going to tell you the truth. Some of y'all accused people of adultery have been in it and struggling in it now. If I could hear it on that one. So you ain't got no business putting up with somebody that's been in adultery. If you are in it, you need to say, Lord, have mercy on me. Now, Jesus asked the question at the end of the writing on the ground, where are my accusers? She said, they are not here. He says, go in peace and sin no more. He says, I won't hold it against you either. The truth of the matter, if you are an adulteress, if you are the truth of the matter, if you've ever been and you come from it and you've graduated from it and you're not in it no more, you need to just praise God and thank God he brought you out. That's the truth. Sin is helping us to be anything but the truth. The dictionary meaning is truth according to reality. Truth is absolute. It doesn't change. Modern man is trying to change it. In Romans chapter 1, we discover that man has changed the truth into a lie. He's changed the natural use that God intended when it comes to passion. You see a lot of men walking around here with another man, and one thinks he's a woman. That's their truth, but it's not true. God didn't create Adam and Steve, but he created Adam and Eve. Some of y'all don't want to acknowledge that your fire is going out. So you go out and you make yourself believe a lie by buying a pack of blue pills and putting them in your system. When you need to recognize you come to the end of your journey. If you can't tote the bucket, just carry the water. And thank God you had your chance. Pray that your wife understands. Pray that you bless us so much that she can live on the past. Right is right. Wrong is wrong. Your wife makes you feel good, but she's not telling the truth. She's just letting you go because she knows you tried. And she said she spent it on these and more. That's mine. To be what he used to be. But he's my baby's daddy, and so I'm waiting until death do us part. You have to find something else to do to make me be what I need to be. But he can't do what he used to do, so I'm going to play face the truth because I'm with it anyhow. Yes, his head is bald. Yes, he's short-winded. Yes, there's so many things. The truth of the matter, he just can't do what he used to do. But I love him because of what he used to do. You know, my wife, she is always talking about a headache. Because she don't really want to be bothered. So the truth of the matter, I have to find the reason why she don't want to be bothered. And get busy and do what I need to do so she don't mind being bothered. In the meantime, we go to sleep in Jesus' name and wake up in the morning and say, thank the Lord. Somebody say, amen. A Christian does not share in the world's investigating and indecision of what is true. All of us who are truly born again know that God's word is true. God is true. For the Bible verifies it. John 1 and 1 said, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. Also, in John 14 and 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. We can't get to God unless we go the route of the truth. Lies won't get us there. John 17:17 said, tell us, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is true. We have the Spirit of truth who will guide us into all truth, John 16:12. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. After we know the truth, we are challenged to speak the truth, Ephesians 4:13, but speaking the truth in love. There are five methods one can acquire truth: authority, institution, reasoning, scientific methods, and revelation. Authority as the fact, the view of another's authority. Example. When we are growing up, we are accepting of the words of our parents to be the truth. Reliance on the Bible is the final authority. Solomon Paul advised to hear her instructions, Proverbs 1 and 8, hear the instructions of my father, and forsake not the law of my mother. Many children are suffering now because they don't hear their parents. The writer of the Psalm says, obey thy parents in the Lord. Whether they be long, but life. You can tell, a lot of children are in trouble now because they won't obey their parents. A lot of children live a short life because they fail to obey their parents. A lot of children are running late in life because they didn't obey their parents. But somehow, if we would gravitate to the teachings and the authority of those who God has placed over us, we'll learn that life can be more beautiful. Yes, my mother and father used to tell us all the time, don't you bring nobody's daughter into this house because you have touched her. So my brother and I always grew up knowing, don't touch her. But we don't want mom and dad to find out we've been touching. Oh, don't touch her, no matter how she pulls her clothes to you. Don't touch her. Then out here at the church, Mr. Galahisa said, don't hold hands. He says, no way you can hold hands and don't catch on fire. He said, please don't kiss. Because if you kiss, that's pouring gasoline on the fire. Now, we heard it at home, that was true. And we heard it here at the pulpit, it was true. And so you didn't see many girls coming up unwed mothers, because we gravitated to the truth. We did not even want to be called in the office because we tried to break the rule. That was one door I never wanted to go through. That door right there in the corner there, never want to be found going through that door, because I know a judgment step up in that door, I come out a well beat up little sanctified boy. Do you know what it means to be sit down for a whole year? They say you can't sing, you can't preach, you can't do nothing. All you can do is come and sit at the back of the church, and you better be here. You don't know about that, but the truth is, we need to do that some more. Yeah, that's what we need to do. Because what has happened, the church has evolved out of sincerity and evolved in the hypocrisy. People are seeing that should not be seen. People are activating the church that ought to be sitting down. People are in place that should not be in place. The truth of the matter, you need to sit out and learn how to gravitate to the truth. But you need to know the truth and the truth of the truth. I'm going to take some let me go ahead. I'm going to get away with my little friend now. Listen. It is fact that concocts a lie. Have to go back and rehearse the lie that they told. So to come out the same way and return. What did I say? No, listen, I said that I had gone around the corner and I got a flat tire and I had to roll up the sleeve and go back to the gas station. What up? And they gave me a fast flat tire and then I came back and put that on and then came home. That's a lie, okay? So, but if you just tell the truth, I had a flat tire and I couldn't get no help, so I got home the best way I could. Or I didn't have a flat tire. I just didn't do what I was supposed to do. That's the truth. So when you go to the court of law, when you go to the court of law, the first thing the bailiff does to you is raise your right hand. Do you solemn to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God? And so we said, well, we don't swear. He said, well, okay, take the judge said, okay, I'll take this. Do you affirm? Do you affirm to tell the truth? Yes, sir. Because it's the truth to make the decision of your case. And some people are found not telling the truth. And so they charge you with contempt. Of course. And so that's what slavery put me in jail the first time he went to court. He said that he didn't have nothing to do with that girl. But the fact came out that he did. She came along and told the same lie. And they both wound up in the county jail. So you got to understand the truth is the only thing that keeps you free in the kingdom of God. I wish I had some definition. But I didn't say nothing. Okay, the truth can be made known in more than one way. We can act the lie. Yeah, we can act the lie. I'm going to get home. I'm going to put the pedal to the metal on. You can say, praise the Lord with me and hate the Lord, Brother Brian. Don't praise the Lord. You hate his guts. Praise the Lord. Oh, I enjoyed your organ playing today. When you're jealous of him playing. But you said that you, oh, I enjoyed you today, oh, praise God. You're a liar. You said that for him to think you were telling the truth. Oh, Bishop, you really, really preached today. And you talked about me all week long. But now I preach today. How in the world can you fix your faith to tell me, little people, you just got to talk about me all week long? You liar. The truth of the matter, what you think about what I'm saying, I don't care. That's the truth. Everybody can't preach in nowhere because they're afraid of people's faith. I ain't afraid of y'all. Y'all ain't gonna put me nowhere. You can't put me in jail. You can't put me in heaven. I don't care what you say. I'm gonna take you to truth. That's authority. Institution. This is the direct acquisition of truth. By any ideas contained in human personalities, man's possessions of God, man possesses a God-given moral nature that it can distinguish right from wrong. This is called conscience. I'm saying, have you ever been you're on the phone talking to one of your peers and say, you know what? I couldn't sleep last night. My conscience was just looking me to death. You know, you lie to yourself. And now you can't get around lying to yourself. Look at somebody and say, a lie will never fit. But truth will last a lot of time. The disciples or his men who were talking to Jesus in this 8th chapter of St. John was going over a lot of things. And they were going to ask him, who are you? Who are you anyway? He says, I come from my Father. He said, well, I got news for you. We from Abraham. Abraham is our father. Jesus said, the truth of the matter is you just lied again. Because if you were Abraham, Abraham was a man of good works. And you don't want to kill me because I'm telling the truth. See, some folks get mad at the preacher when he preaches the truth. People are back in churches now for preachers to tickle their ears and make them think it's all right. Churches are packed and people are serving on big boys. I ain't even indict nobody, but people are serving on big boys that's not qualified to be on the big boys. But they do that because they make money and they got a lot of guys who own businesses, so I'll put you on the trustee board. But they're living like hell, and so that's the truth of a Class A church. The Last Day Church, Paul told Timothy, they would have a form of godliness, but they denied the power thereof. You can sleep with your girlfriend, you can run with your man, you can be a sissy to sissy, but just be on in the church and go with those things. Say hallelujah, hallelujah. Jump up and then jump up and down, but ain't nobody saying it. What's the use of going to church? Thank you. I thank my son to tell me to go on and preach over there. All right, all right. Now, what's the use of coming to this church and never owning up to the truth? If you didn't see it, you just didn't see it. And that's what this pulpit is about. To point out to you, you need to clean up yourself from what you are and get what you need to be so you can be clean in the front of not the truth. I don't want more people lying to me, telling me it's all right, telling me it's human to do what you do. It's human, but sin coming to court. When you're wrong, you're wrong. And I need to tell you you're wrong, and you need to understand you're wrong, and keep that, get right, yes, and let it go off. I'm okay to preach it now. Reasoning. If there is a rational thought, in transcendental analysis, God created man with a reasoning mind. This mind has two parts, free will, if I say free will, and intellect. Yeah, you must understand, you're free to think what you want to think. But education gives you intellect to think what you need to think. It ain't what you, somebody said, yeah, no, I don't believe that's what this is you. I don't believe that Bible because it was written by King James. That's your mindset. But the Word says the Bible was written by men who were inspired to write. They wrote as the Holy Ghost moved. Did anybody here can indict the Holy Ghost and say the Holy Ghost is whole alive? The Holy Ghost says the wages of sin. But it goes on to say, but the gift of God is. God said it, come on. The gift of God is the. Now, how do y'all want to live after you die? After the look at my sin record. When you take me to the cemetery or put me in the tomb, I know that's who I am. And he said, the son of God shall die. Death has to break his hold.
I'm late. This time, I have.
I wanted to know who you were. Things that I heard. Oh, and I didn't know. Things that you see. The word. In the truth. In the word. What can I mean? In the word. What pain is doing? In the word. For me, transgression.
I'm glad the truth is made me free.
The truth of the matter is, the truth of the matter is, I tried to bring it to the appreciation of truth. The truth of the matter is, I'm not ashamed. Hey, Graham, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. If you walk with me, you can't be ashamed either. All y'all are walking with me, can't be ashamed. Hope y'all come out another street for 2 weeks tonight. That's what I'm saying about it. Well, you have to be told. Hallelujah. It's time for you guys to respond. It's time for you who are not saved to respond. Get up out your seat. Come on now. Don't turn it out. Come on now. Come on down now. Whoever you are, you need to walk with you. Because they fall. I've presented it to you. You come from where you are. Anybody want to be saved? Come on. Come on, I told y'all last week that God had put the song in my spirit at the 43rd intimacy of promise. I told y'all I was going to sing it today. This is a good time to say, I want everybody that's not saved to listen to this. The truth of the matter is, y'all, Jesus is coming again. He's putting back on church. That's the path. God gave him this song. Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming soon. It may be someone. It may be night or dark, Jesus is coming. Ooh, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.